This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Congressman Mick Mulvaney, from the 5th Congressional District in South Carolina. And Congressman Mulvaney serves on the Small Business, the House Small Business Committee, and is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Contracting and Workforce. Welcome to the show, Congressman.
Roger, thanks. It's good to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, talking about something that's near and dear to all our hearts, that's providing opportunities for small businesses. And, first of all, I thought I'd ask you, can you describe for us, for the audience, a little bit about what the subcommittee focuses on in terms of contracting and workforce?
Sure. And in a rarity in Washington, its name actually gives you a pretty good indication of what it does. We're usually good about not doing that in Washington. But we handle contracting and workforce, which is essentially we oversee and have jurisdiction over items that related to contracting with the federal government, working with the federal government, insourcing, outsourcing, all of the contract work that we do. So it's several, I can't remember the number changes, but it's several hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars a year in government contracts that get let out. And this committee sort of oversees the process, works on reforms, also oversees and has responsible for investigating fraud and abuse, which we've done a little bit of this year as well. So anytime that small business touches, or even big business, touches government, that's where this committee comes in. So it's been a pretty good year, pretty interesting year for somebody like myself who started for small businesses. I never actually did any government contracting, but I did have an SBA loan, for example, which this committee oversees as well. So it's been fascinating to me as a small businessman to see this process from the other side of the equation.
Yeah, that's a great point that, coming from your background as a small businessman to this particular committee and focusing on, our procurement system, just leads me to my next question for you. And over the course of the last 2 years since you've come to Congress and became chairman of this subcommittee, what are you seeing as the biggest challenges facing small businesses competing in the federal acquisition system?
It's a great question, and I'm going to give you an answer that probably you didn't expect. But I've slowly come to this realization, and then when I came to it, I realized this is exactly what the problem was when I was a small businessman, which is that we didn't know about it. We didn't know about it. Most small businesses don't know about government contracting. We don't think about it. We don't know about the Small Business Administration. We don't know what tools are offered, what programs are available. There's some type of disconnect between small business generally and the government generally. We, for example, had a tour through my district where the SBA came in and offered tutorials on how to deal with the federal government, how to get into the contracting business. And it was an eye-opening experience for our small businesses, because not only did they not know how to do it, they weren't even aware that this opportunity existed. Many of them didn't even know the Small Business Administration existed. So clearly there's a challenge to us as lawmakers to let folks know of these opportunities. These are tremendous opportunities, and they should be available broadly, not just to a small group of folks who've actually figured out the intricacies of doing government contracting. So that's one of the things we focus on this year. But that's the biggest challenge. Biggest challenge is simply an awareness issue. And I saw that when I was in business, and it's been interesting to see that this year as we try and shed some light on why there's not more small business doing business with the government.
And just the big picture is, in terms of providing opportunity, why is it so important to provide opportunities for small businesses through our acquisition system?
Yeah, small businesses, and a lot of folks don't realize this, small business is really still the basis of our economy. We know, we think it's the Fortune 500 companies because those are the ones we see on TV and, read about in the papers and so forth. and the brands that we come in contact with every single day. But the truth of the matter is, you know, more than half. In fact, in my district, it's 80% of the jobs are created by small business, if you want to define them as folks by, who have fewer than 50 employees. So small business really is the backbone of our economy. So it's absolutely critical that we give it every opportunity that we can. And certainly government contracting should and is part of that equation.
Yeah. Well, in that regard, can you talk a little bit about what your goals or priorities are with regard to the acquisition system?
Sure. We're just trying to make it easier. Right now, it's gotten to the point where it's almost a niche business. It's too difficult for small businesses to do business with the government in terms of qualifying, going through the paperwork, going through the reporting processes, et cetera. It's just too hard. So a lot of small businesses, many of them, an overwhelming majority of them, don't get involved in the process. And as a result, there have been small little segments of industries and a very small number of businesses who actually get into this niche business of doing business with the government, and they end up doing a lot of business with the government. And that wasn't the purpose of government contracting. Government contracting with small business was designed to give small business a supplement, a leg up, allow them to use government contracting as a way to help them grow their business. We didn't want them to turn into just businesses that dealt with the government, and to the exclusion of all other customers and so forth. So we wanted them to have the government as part of their customer base, but not have it be their only customer. So it's too hard, and obviously the way to fix that is by making it easier. We're working on a couple bills this year that would do that. I know you want to talk about that before we finish up today. But that's sort of the issue we've discovered on contracts. It's just too hard, and businesses say, look, it's just as easy for me to go and find a regular customer. Much easier to do that than it is to try and deal with this crazy customer that is the federal government.
I love this point. I mean, that's a great point. And it's one of the fundamentals of our procurement system. I'm a person who's worked in it for the last 20 years, both 25 years or more now, mostly with the government, but now in the private sector. And I can tell you, those regulations, not only do they create companies who just deal with the government in terms of it being small business contracting directly with the government, they also have created like a bunch of small businesses actually that all they do is help companies figure out how to actually do business with the government. And, that's a signal that things are a bit too complex.
Yeah, and the lending side is just as confusing. Another example of why things have sort of gotten off the track and we need a little bit of reform here is that it used to be that little local community banks would do a lot of small business lending. It was fairly simple to do it over the course of the years. This is often the case with government. It's become more and more complex. And now, generally speaking, it's the large banks. It's the Bank of America's and the Citigroups and so forth that are doing small business lending. And they have small business lending units that do nothing but the small business lending. So it's gotten away from its roots. It's gotten away from its true purpose. And we just got to figure out a way to put small business back in the hands of the small businessman.
Yeah, I think, the thing I like to mention is it seems to me that simplicity and certainty, that's what businesses want. They want simple rules and certainty of expectations. To the extent you can in any business deal, that would increase competition and increased opportunity for small business. So I think you're really onto something there.
Hey, look, I ran a restaurant for a while, and I could have tried to get onto the local military base as an outsourced, third-party supplier, or I could have just gone to a local business and said, look, can I set up my kiosk in your cafeteria at lunch and do it that way? And it's so much easier to deal with the private industry. They just say, sure. They say yes or no. And, you sell them based upon the quality of your product, the price of your service, just like we all know we're supposed to do as business people. But selling to the government too often is not like that. So again, it's probably not as bad as I make it out to be because I'm focusing on the negatives as we try and fix things. But certainly there's room for improvement.
Right. And, right now we have to do selling here, too. So we do have to take a break right now, but we will be back. My guest today is Congressman Mick Mulvaney from the 5th District in South Carolina. And we're talking small business issues. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the House Small Business Committee has been very active this year and with regard to legislation trying to increase opportunities for small businesses. And we'll talk a little bit about that. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices.
you'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Hahn Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Hahn's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Hahn lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Hahn Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
What does it take to go from good government to great? When one agency decided to modernize an old financial system, several departments struggled to transition effectively. But one office resolved $718 million worth of systematic financial errors to quickly become an agency-wide model for new system adoption.
Visit myacuity.com/realresults to learn more. Acuity, your vision, our focus.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by LearningTree International.
LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by LearningTree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Arming your home with a security system gives you peace of mind. Now get peace of mind for your wallet. Ackerman Security will monitor your system for $18.95 a month.
I was paying too much for monitoring, so I made the switch to Ackerman Security's Certified Monitoring Center. Now I'm paying only $18.95 a month with no cost to switch.
Call today and get 2 months of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring free. 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Join the United States Geospatial Intelligence Foundation for GeoInt Community Week, June 4th through 8th, featuring classified and unclassified workshops, demonstrations, exhibits, briefings, and networking opportunities. USGIF's GeoInt Community Week is a great opportunity to learn more about the GeoInt issues affecting the defense, intelligence, and homeland security communities. Register and learn more at usgif.org, the United States Geospatial Intelligence Foundation, where our national security begins.
To win and deliver government healthcare contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Moreover, with over 900 healthcare IT initiatives proposed in the 2013 federal budget, you need to begin building your healthcare IT teams now. Meet Tech Systems. Every year, Tech Systems deploys thousands of IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems Government Services offers a dedicated healthcare division to deliver practical healthcare IT solutions to the federal, state, and local government. No matter where you are on your meaningful use journey, Tech Systems can guide you through the transition. From providing managed services that tailor end-user training by role and workflow, to providing BI solutions that get you closer to your quality care goals. Tech Systems, our people make IT possible. Learn more at TechSystems.com, TekSystems.com.
Are you prepared to detect, stop, or respond to a terror attack? Counterterror Expo US is coming to the Convention Center May 16th and 17th. Hear insights and workable solutions from expert security, defense, and law enforcement speakers. Collaborate across all sectors on critical issues. Explore and test the latest technology on the free expo floor. Don't miss the opportunity to network with the counterterror community at the most relevant counterterror event of the year. Get more information at counterterrorus.com. That's counterterrorus.com. For those dedicated to outstanding public service, meeting the expectations of the American people in an increasingly complex world is a challenge. But with smart programs, people, and performance management, government employees are the epicenter of positive change. The Performance Institute presents the 12th Annual Government Performance Summit, June 18th through 20th at the Marriott at Metro Center. Learn how to create the future for government leadership, measurement, and a motivated workforce. Space is limited. Register now at governmentperformance.org.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Congressman Mick Mulvaney from the 5th District in South Carolina. Congressman Mulvaney is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Contracting and Workforce as part of the House Small Business Committee. And Congressman, you know, when we took the break, we were about to talk a little bit about some of the legislation. The House Small Business Committee and your subcommittee have been very active, proactive this year with regard to procurement reform legislation relating to small businesses. Can you talk about some of the highlights there?
Sure. In fact, it started the way that you would hope the good legislation would. I spent some time outside of my district. I went out to California with Judy Chu, a Democrat representative from the San Gabriel Valley, and we talked to small businesses out there. And then she came to South Carolina to talk to small businesses in my district. And then, you know, we talked about what we had learned from those outreach efforts and discovered a couple of things. First of all, that lending was too hard. That small dollar lending was too hard, that banks weren't interested in lending $50,000 or $100,000 because the paperwork was just as overwhelming for that loan as it was for a $5 million loan, but clearly they made more money off the bigger loans. So there was very little small business, small level lending. We also learned that there was a lot of government contracts that were not going to small business or that were going to sort of shell small businesses. We had an experience on an Army base near my hometown where the contract was over $100 billion in value, and local businesses got less than $200,000 worth of work. And we tried to dig down into those experiences, both in California and South Carolina, try and figure out what was happening. And then we came up with the STAR Act, which is essentially an effort to try and address some of these things. It stands for Subcontracting Transparency and Reliability. And it's really, again, what was our experience? I'll give you a perfect example. Concrete. There was a concrete contract let on this Army base down in South Carolina, a $10 million contract, and a lot of concrete on an Army base. None of the local businesses were big enough to handle it. So as a result, they couldn't bid because they couldn't do that much work. And what we've done now is tried to encourage contracts to be broken into smaller pieces, alternatively allowing various different small businesses to bid together on the larger pieces, and just try and overcome those type of structural impediments to small businesses on contracting.
Yeah, I know the STAR Act does provide for a greater flexibility for small businesses to team with other small businesses to compete for contracts. And I mean, the situation you described right there is, I think, is exactly on point in terms of, to the extent you're gonna do that, you got to provide opportunities for small businesses to be to better team to be able to provide that. Is another aspect of the STAR Act, does it relate to insourcing versus outsourcing? Is that
it does, and it touches on that. We didn't go into a full blown insourcing outsourcing because we didn't have the bipartisan support that we wanted for that yet. We're still working on that, but we did address it. Right now, the government is insourcing work from the private sector, which is exactly what it sounds. You've all heard of outsourcing, which is where they find private suppliers and producers to serve the government instead of hiring federal workers. But now this administration has been pursuing insourcing, which is essentially going out and finding, in often cases, white-collar third-party suppliers, canceling their contracts, and then hiring their employees as federal workers and bringing that work in-house into the federal government. It was very disturbing to some of us to hear the stories about men and women who owned businesses who showed up at work one day to find that a government worker had taken over their desk and kicked them out of their office and effectively taken their whole business away from them. I know that sounds like it's extreme and shouldn't be happening, but it did. We took testimony on that in the committee. So what we're trying to do is get to the point where the government has to be more transparent about how it wants to insource, why it wants to insource, what the advantages are of insourcing, so that it can't do so arbitrarily. In the longer term, I'd love to see us get to a point where we were 20 years ago, where we encourage outsourcing, sort of what we call the Yellow Pages rule here, which is if you can find it in the Yellow Pages, we don't want the government doing it. And we're not there yet, but we're still trying to build a broad base of support for that type of initiative.
Now, I understand another aspect of the STAR legislation is to address or make it easier for small business. I think this goes to your theme of simplicity in terms of, you know, subcontracting, having small businesses be able to track or report their subcontracts when it's a set aside or when they're working on something and they're representing themselves as a small business, be able to track based on price versus cost. That seems to me sounds like a positive move for small businesses because that's a lot easier to deal with than trying to figure out, you know, all these aspects of cost of a subcontract.
Sure. And as a taxpayer, I'm interested in what we're paying for it. You know, if I'm hiring you to do some work for me, I'm much more interested in your price that you're charging for me, not what your costs are. As the taxpayer, I want to know what the price is. So it's something that business is a lot more key to do, and I think it's a lot more helpful. At the same time, if you want to do business with the government, why would you want to tell your competitors what your costs are? That's really not always something that you might want to do. And again, there's an example of why dealing with the government can be difficult. If I go to try and sell to my restaurant food to a private business, they're not going to ask me what my costs are. They ask me what my prices are. And they're not going to take that cost information and give it to somebody else, one of my competitors. And the government was, if I'm worried the government might do that, it might discourage me from doing business with the government in the first place.
I also understand that you have, I think there's a total of like 8 bills that have, that the committee has been successfully passed. You know, the overall framework and looking at those bills, can you just comment on what the overall thrust of the legislation. I know we've talked a little bit about the STAR Act, but I know you see there's legislation, the GET Act, that would increase the government-wide goal from 23% to 25%. Can you just touch on what the committee, looking at it with, across the board, is trying to accomplish?
Yeah, and this is really the brainchild of Chairman Sam Graves, who I've got a great deal of respect for. I mean, here's a small businessman. I believe he's a farmer by trade, and a guy who understands small business in the United States and the challenges that it faces, and just fortunate to have him as a chairman. And this was his initiative to try and get together, you know, 6 or 10 different bills that deal with a bunch of different things. A lot of stuff we've talked about today, what we haven't talked about, access to capital, one of these bills, things that, you know, make it easier for our folks to figure out a way to get money so that they can grow their businesses. Programs that deal with minority contracting. It's across the entire board. It's a list of things that we try to get some bipartisan support for to try and take some of the hurdles away from how small businesses, how they function in this country.
Congressman, it's been great to have you on the show.
Roger, listen, I appreciate the chance to come on. Never get tired of talking about small business. It is, like I said, the backbone of the American economy, and we do everything we can to help it.
Well, I want to thank my guest, Congressman Mick Mulvaney, from South Carolina. Congressman is the chairman of the Small Business Subcommittee on Contracting and Workforce and serves on the House Small Business Committee. This is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
And now, on the home front, sponsored by your local Jeep dealers.
Worrying about finances can make a military separation even more stressful. So the Department of Defense recommends having specific conversations about money before the deployment or separation. Service members and their spouses should make sure they're on the same page financially when it comes to paying bills and managing the household during the separation. Single service members can reach out to family or a trusted friend to handle their finances while they're gone. Counseling and referral services are available at designated family centers.
At the Jeep brand, we've been on active duty for over 70 years. And like our soldiers, we never shy away from a challenge. So we're giving our soldiers the recognition they deserve during the Jeep military event. Get $1,000 total military bonus cash toward a new Jeep vehicle. Jeep.
Offer available to active military and military reserve and a retired military and military reserve with honorable discharge and 20 years of service within 6 months of discharge date on a retail purchase or lease. Excludes SRT models. See dealer for details. Offer ends 531.
Vacation time is right around the corner. Why worry about the safety of your home while you're away?
I had Ackerman Security install a system 2 years ago. Now, I leave for vacations with total peace of mind. I know I can trust an Ackerman Certified Monitoring Center. They don't use a third-party monitoring company like most companies, and it's only $18.95 a month.
Call today and get 2 free months of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring. 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth, Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to Fed Talk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Bill Bransford will discuss federal insurance and retirement benefits with long-term care partners and benefits specialist James Marshall.
Federally employed women, FEW, the organization of choice for leadership, equity, and the advancement of women, would like to extend an invitation to FEW's 43rd National Training Program, NTP, Wheels of Change Keep On Moving, in Detroit, Michigan, July 16 through 20. The NTP is the largest training opportunity in the world for women in federal employment. The training program will include training tracks to better train employees in the following subjects: executive leadership, science and technology, project management, human resources, and more. In addition, the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, EEOC, and many more agencies will be on hand, so networking opportunities will be endless. Meet other government employees at all grade levels and ranks from across the nation. The 2012 NTP program, Wheels of Change Keep On Moving, held in Detroit July 16th through 20, is for you. So for more details or to sign up, please call 202-898-0994 or visit FEW.org. That's FEW.org. Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Our brains are complex computing machines that make us who we are, yet we really know very little about how they're wired. Scientists have lots of images showing brain cells called neurons and their connections called synapses, but Randall Burns, an engineer at Johns Hopkins, says diagramming how those pieces fit together is a huge job.
This is 100 trillion neurons, each of which connects to thousands or tens of thousands of other neurons.
He's taking on the first step.
Our project is storing massive amounts of data.
Because if all those brain images can be accessed from one place, it might be easier to figure out how our brains are built.
Someone will have the best technique to find synapses, and someone will have the best technique to connect different cells together.
Allowing a team approach to this massive puzzle that is our brain. To find out more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Joining me for the next two segments on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Hey, Bill, thanks for joining me again.
Sure, Roger. Glad to be here.
Bill, the first two segments of the show, I had Congressman Mick Mulvaney from South Carolina on. He is the chair of the House Small Business Subcommittee on Contracting and Workforce, which committee has been very active this year with regard to small business legislation. And during the course of my interview with him, one of the points that he made that I thought really resonated, at least with me, is the issue, the challenges that small businesses face. It's just too complicated in part, and there's too much paperwork, or it's not easy to do business with the federal government. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think to his point, I could echo that exactly. I think it's for anyone who is doing business with the federal government. It is a lot of paperwork. And when you think about that, you add a small business aspect. And small business, while it's agile, can bring a lot of innovation and a lot of agility to the table, which the government clearly could take advantage of. There are a lot of hurdles that
the government puts into the procurement process. And some of them, I think, are just understood because it is public money that's involved here. Others, I think, other hurdles, I think, are really become impediments for any company to start up and as a small business and want to do business with the federal government. It just takes a long time, Roger, to actually to meet all of the certifications and the they call them the certs and reps. You've got to do a lot online before you can even think about, you know, putting an application in or an offer in to get a contract.
Yeah, it is you do have to make it seems to me a fundamental business decision and a corresponding investment in the process and understanding the process, as well as, you know, an investment in, you know, compliance requirements that are unique to the federal government that you don't find in commercial market. If there are a couple of things that you could point to that are things that you think that are unnecessary paperwork, let's say, or things that the government, you know, that could look at changing, do you have a couple thoughts on that?
Well, I think overall, I think the government has the program that I know your listeners are very familiar with, is the Multiple Award Schedules program, as an example. And GSA has automated that process online. But where I think it starts to break down is the length of time it actually takes to get a contract award. And I think there's so many examples within the area of small businesses trying to do business with the federal government that they apply for these schedule contracts, Roger, and just the length of time the small businesses are asked to have, you know, two years history, and that's for some businesses that's a long time. They're either a startup, a viable startup, and they've created a business plan, and within their business plan they have projected certain things to occur during the course of their business year. And when you include the federal government in that scenario for planning purposes, it becomes very difficult for small businesses to plan on when they'll actually have an opportunity to compete. I'm not saying win business, but just the opportunity to compete. So from a small business standpoint, I think they have to be either have a very good, maybe they have a background in certain parts of government, and that's where I would strongly suggest that they work initially to initiate a relationship and to be able to be considered so the government will solicit them for an offer.
Are you saying a focused market strategy, identify some key customers that potentially familiar with what you provide or other service you provide?
Yeah, I think as we've heard in the past, traditional shotgun approach is pretty much it. I mean, you're really from a large business standpoint, I think the shotgun approach had been a norm, but based on the business environment we're in today, it's more of a strategic, tactical aspect of, to your point, a targeted market or a targeted office within the government who potentially has the need of the services or products a small business would offer. So I think the narrower the focus initially allows you to intensify the probability or the opportunity at
right.
a higher percentage of mm-hmm. win rate.
And well, one thing I wanted to ask you about in regard to your point about the cycle time to award contracts is a very good one. It seems to me also another area where the government has opportunity, I think, to assist small businesses in the area of the price reduction clause and the role it plays in the schedules in terms of the cost associated with first negotiating the contract and identifying a tracking commercial customer for purposes of whether price reduction will kick in or not, and also just maintaining that compliance.
Yeah, well, my take is that the time for change for everything, and this part of the schedules program, I think it's clearly a time to look at it and actually evaluate the benefit it brings. I would argue the price reduction clause. I'm going to kind of go off on left field here for a minute, and I'll come back, Roger. I promise. But
okay,
I think it's. I think it's time to look at it because I think it, the way it is structured right now, I would argue to make a point that I think the current price reduction clause inhibits competition.
Okay.
For the government. And what I mean by that is I think there's, you know, where the government does tag their discount, their contract discount with a contractor to their most favored customer or equal to their most favored customer. And it really creates a bookkeeping, in some cases, nightmare for companies that it could be an oversight on their part that they've offered someone a higher discount or a lower price than the government. But there's a reason for that. And there's, you and I think I've in the past have said this too, but there's three things that affect pricing that goes into the pricing formulas from a contractor standpoint is market penetration, you know, sales goals, where are they? And, you know, as far as, and also inventory, whether it's people or whether it's a product. So, you know, those three parts go into play every time that whether they're going to sell to the government or sell commercially. And I think the government kind of stymies that contractor.
Flexibility and pricing, competition, yeah. Being able yeah. to compete. Because, yeah. you know, as and just, you know, as folks know, or most folks listen to the show or have heard me talk about it before, about the price reduction clause, you know, it's an oversight mechanism that requires that when you give a particular category of commercial customer a lower price under the contract, you know, that essentially that price has to then be provided to the government, regardless, you know, and obviously they negotiate facts and circumstances. But to your point, there's other things that drive price. And now also with the requirement for competition, you know, in terms of there's a statutory mandate for a certain level of competition under the schedules at the task order level, you're really, the price is driven, you know, it's more, that's more akin to what you're describing, like competing for specific requirements and letting those factors drive the pricing decision on part of the company, as opposed to this artificial mechanism.
Yeah, I think normally when someone gets a contract, just fundamentally, they actually think that they have all of that worked out. The schedules program is known to be a little different, that, you know, pricing, a pricing ceiling is worked out, or a discount. You know, there's always an opportunity to get a better discount. So the government on all the scheduled contracts, there's a ceiling price that's determined fair and reasonable. And I think, you know, how that price is determined is part of this discussion we're having right now. And I think that could be far
more efficient.
Yeah, it can be far improved upon. And I think that does a couple of things. One, in an operational sense, Roger, it would actually, I think, help streamline the contract awards and evaluation, number one.
Which would help small businesses?
Yes, and that's my point. It would help the small businesses become more like a commercial environment, and that's how the schedules initially were set up, to really emulate as much as possible, give government access to the commercial environment of the services and products, and a lot of terms and conditions. I think the government is unfortunately, over the past you know, 2 or 3 years, has actually moved more into more reporting. And it's more shifted toward, a burden has shifted more towards small businesses than I think is from a commercial standpoint. The government has clearly become, you know, its own kind of impediment here.
Right. It reduces access to the competitive marketplace on the part of small businesses and ultimately reduces competition for government requirements. And, you know, Bill, right now we do have to take a break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley about small business contracting opportunities, the marketplace. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Many factors affect job satisfaction. Hours, teammates, and opportunity can all make or break an experience. That's why it was an impressive achievement when 100% of employees surveyed recently reported they were proud to work for Acuity Inc. With a 766% growth rate and recognition as a best place to work, Acuity is attracting talented, passionate professionals and keeping them happy. Learn more. Visit myacuity.com/careers.
Public, private, hybrid. The options for moving to the cloud are many, and mandated transition deadlines are right around the corner. Industry leaders GTSI and HP have established a cloud center of excellence in Herndon, Virginia, specifically focused on navigating the cloud options available to agencies and to help you decide on what approach is best for your requirements. Get your head in the cloud. Contact a GTSI HP cloud computing expert and reap the benefits of increased operational efficiency and decreased program costs. Email hpccoe@gtsi.com today.
The Ballistic Missile Defense Report, provided by Raytheon.
Germany may become one of the first nations to integrate Raytheon's Standard Missile 3 onto its naval vessels, according to the German Chief of Naval Operations, Axel Schimpf, though the German government has not made a decision on whether to adapt its fleet of frigates for ballistic missile defense. The enhancements would allow Germany to participate in the Obama administration's European phased adaptive approach, embraced by NATO. Depending on the political decision and funding, the German Navy stands ready to provide sea-based capabilities, Schimpf said.
5 million hours of experience, 20 direct hit intercepts, unmatched engineering. Raytheon Standard Missile 3 is preserving freedom at home and around the world. Now, Raytheon engineers are developing the next generation SM3. When seconds matter and there's no margin for error, Raytheon Standard Missile 3 delivers. In fact, there's nothing standard about it. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
To win and deliver government healthcare contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Moreover, with over 900 healthcare IT initiatives proposed in the 2013 federal budget, you need to begin building your healthcare IT teams now. Meet Tech Systems. Every year, Tech Systems deploys thousands of IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems Government Services offers a dedicated healthcare division to deliver practical healthcare IT solutions to the federal, state, and local government. No matter where you are on your meaningful use journey, Tech Systems can guide you through the transition, from providing managed services that tailor end-user training by role and workflow, to providing BI solutions that get you closer to your quality care goals. Tech Systems, our people make IT possible. Learn more at techsystems.com, TEKsystems.com.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Join me this week for my special guest, Mike Baker of the Baker Parekh Group at Morgan Stanley. He'll talk about his special retirement planning tools. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
For those dedicated to outstanding public service, meeting the expectations of the American people in an increasingly complex world is a challenge. But with smart programs, people, and performance management, government employees are the epicenter of positive change. The Performance Institute presents the 12th Annual Government Performance Summit, June 18th through 20th at the Marriott at Metro Center. Learn how to create the future for government leadership, measurement, and a motivated workforce. Space is limited. Register now at governmentperformance.org.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Bill Gormley. We were talking about small businesses, the small business marketplace and federal government and opportunities for small business. And, you know, the first, as you folks and listeners know, the first half of the show, I had Congressman Mick Mulvaney, Republican from South Carolina on the show. He talked a little bit about small business programs. He's a member of the House Small Business Committee. And one interesting point he made, Bill, was that one of the things that he's also learned with regard to small businesses is that there's that a lot of small businesses don't know what's out there with regard to federal contracting programs or federal programs that are there designed to support small businesses. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that initially.
Well, Roger, I think the government is a big marketplace for small businesses. So I think obviously with the web and ways to market your company, the government, in all due respect to the congressman, has done a pretty good job of promoting and listing through FedBizOps, which anybody can get on to, and small business can get in there. It is going to be a lot of rooting around and understanding the flow of it and the click-throughs on FedBizOps. But it's like anything else, Roger. Once you move into a new market, you do need to understand how that market works. And apparently the congressman, as earlier that when you had your discussion with him, he may see now that it's hard for small businesses, and I would like to say that, hey, you're in a position to help change that now.
Well, that's what he's trying to do in a number of different ways. And that's just, but getting back to the schedules program, that's in terms of providing that opportunity and streamlining the award process, as you mentioned, or working on doing that more efficiently, because there's a lot of information through eBuy or whatever that comes out that small businesses would have access to if we're on contract there. I mean, that's a market research tool in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think GSA, for any listener who's not familiar with it, just go to gsa.gov and you can go to the GSA schedules tab. And there's a significant amount of information that talks about the program. And as far as opportunities, the schedules, what is it, Roger? I think GSA does about $40 billion and VA does about 10 or something. So it's about a $50 billion program somewhere around there.
Yes, that's right.
And so that's year in and year out. And when you look at those, it's a pretty good number, pretty good sized number. And so from a small business standpoint, you may just inhale and just go, oh, my God, how am I ever going to figure this out? Well, I think it also is important to understand that you have to do some preliminary work here. And I think to your earlier point, for small businesses who do participate in the schedules program, on an annual average, I think it's over 30 to 33% of that those sales volumes we just mentioned go to the small business community. So I think once you start educating yourself on the schedules as a contracting vehicle, and the government's used to it, and GSA will help market you through eLibrary. It's an automated system where they will send schedule contract holders that have those types of services or products awarded to them under schedule. They'll actually send a request for a quotation directly to you. And then so you will not have known about that requirement until you see it on your iPhone or BlackBerry or on your through your email. And so it's important. There is an automated way there. So the government has done a very good job. I mean, that program continues to grow. I think they did over $8 billion last year, I think, in the eBuy program, and a significant amount of business goes through there. So that's just one way, and that's the cost of doing business is much cheaper that way. But it all boils down to your lowest cost entry. And I said this when I was in government, Roger, and even more so since I've been out. But your lowest cost entry into the government market is to get yourself a GSA schedule contract, regardless of what kind of experience you're going to have in getting that. Hopefully it's a good one, or how long it takes. Hopefully it's short. But if neither of those happen, at the end of the day, when you get a contract, it is going to open you up to the federal market for what you offer commercially. And I think that is real important. So it reduces the acquisition and the buying cycles considerably because of the schedule contracting.
Right. And, shifting gears just a bit about GSA. And, I know the GSA Expo starts this week.
This week,
yeah, it is this week, Bill. and I, that's just another avenue, I think, where it's a great sort of MythBusters event and brings government and industry together and a lot of training. And I think there's avenues there for small businesses as well. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think first, GSA's been in the news a lot lately, and it's, I think a lot of it's for political reasons. But I think at the end of the day, GSA, can stand tall along with any agency or department of what it's done in order to communicate to the government community from an industry standpoint, from a government community, from a user, customer. And I think the expo, I forget what year it's in now, but they've had expos probably for 12 to 15 years, year in, year out, in a location. And, there's thousands of customers come to these to meet with industry and go over and be educated on what the industry is offering in areas from vehicles to office supplies to medical to technology. And so it's a wonderful low-cost way, by the way. Industry actually pays its for the booth space there. So GSA, this is a great example of how GSA really is fulfilling its mission. And so from the standpoint of the expo, we'll be there. There'll be thousands of government customers there from the standpoint of getting training. I don't know, how many hours of training? You're giving some training, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm giving some training, actually, and I think it's well over 10,000 hours of training that are being offered
three or four days.
Yeah, the acquisition workforce.
Right. It's an amazing in the workforce needs as much training as they can get just to keep up with all the changes in the industries and the procurement regulations. So this is a wonderful way of bringing government together. Congress is very quick to point out that they're trying to find ways to maximize the taxpayers' dollar, and GSA is hosting such an event today. And to your point about MythBusters, the administration, I think, has done a great job of creating a MythBuster theme of ways to continue to identify and address and teach or offer training for contracting officers, how to interact with industry, what things they should look out for, and what things they could possibly do different to streamline procurement. So the MythBuster is a good theme, and GSA is carrying that theme out through this expo.
Well, Bill, that's a great segue, because I just wanted to get, we have about a minute left, your thoughts about last week, the MythBusters, second MythBusters memo came out and is focusing on misconceptions that contractors may have about government, how to deal with government, part of that too, going to the GSA Expo, a lot of that training is available for contractor personnel too. I think what it does is helps them better understand the government marketplace. That will help small businesses as well. And I just wonder what you thought about the MythBusters memo. We got about 40 seconds left.
I think it's good. I know Dan Gordon initiated, the former OFPP administrator initiated MythBuster 1, and he has since gone. And I'm glad to see that the OMB and OFPP are going to continue along that line of thinking to educate and to support the need of government contracting officers and industry talking. That's the way it works commercially. It's the only way anything's going to get done is by communication, not just through emails. And I think this is a wonderful time to really execute on that MythBuster 2 now at the expo.
Right. I think OMB and OFPP are definitely to be commended for issuing a second memo and continuing to emphasize the importance of that dialogue. And Bill, we've come to the end of our dialogue today. I want to thank you for joining me on the show. Again, my guest today has been Congressman Mick Mulvaney from South Carolina, House Small Business Subcommittee on Contracting Workforce, and Bill Gormley, the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. I'm Roger Waldron, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.